Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
Trade afternoons for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is back. Peel and scan to win today. Ends 19th October 2021.
Yes, hello everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio for 2021. Sam Edmund joining you from 1 until 3 each and every day with this man, the mayor of the Mega Trade. Have you copyrighted that yet? The Brownlow medalist, Adam Cooney. Welcome, Coons.
Yes, yeah, great to be back. Another 13 days of Mega Trades coming up, and I've got some breaking news.
Oh.
Yes, it's sponsored this year. Continental have jumped on board.
That's when you know you've made it.
Yeah. So the Mega Trade has finally got the respect it deserves, and it's been sponsored this year.
Any teething problems with the Mega Trade for day one of Trade Radio 2021?
Absolute mare we've had today. Myself and the Digi team came up with a Mega Trade, which we'll just ease our way into a foursome today, but it's been completely butchered. So someone upstairs tried to involve an unrestricted free agent in it. So we've had some early teething problems.
A couple of potholes,
but
by
the 14th hour of the day, I think we may come up with one for the listeners to try and digest.
I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to the next 2 weeks with you. I do have fond memories of our times last year.
Oh, yes.
It was a beautiful time spent together,
no
and a pretty eventful one.
No flat spots.
No
last
flat
year.
Spots whatsoever. No need to think laterally because, as we know, the trades happened in our time slot, and I expect that to happen again.
It was busy.
Free agency opening Friday, of course, and the trade period from the following Monday, which we can't wait for.
It was peak hour during our period, wasn't it?
This, it's all happening.
The 7-9 boys, I think they missed out. They didn't get a lot of
late trade
slide through them. Mm. The late trade went well, and you did dub yourself the interceptor last
year
because
of
a number of documents that you intercepted, and you said on air, I have intercepted a document, and then off air said, is it okay if you call me the interceptor for the next couple of weeks? So you will be branded the interceptor
no,
from now on.
I won't be branded.
It's
how you been?
How's
the property
okay?
down
yeah,
there in Geelong?
No,
I can't call it Geelong.
It's heaven.
Yeah.
It's not, it's
your
city,
rural
city of Geelong, but I'm classed as sort of regional, but down in Batesford there. So yeah, going well. Just planted a couple of hundred natives during the week, so it'll bring some flora and fauna.
Every now and then
bees will come and pollinate.
Oh, yeah. I go onto Insta and I see you keep that well populated with various photos of you and you better half Haley playing pinnies and you're having a whale of a time.
Yeah, life's good down there. Although we have been locked down the last 7 days, but out today. So we're back to business. How's life in Yarraville?
Good. Yeah, we're like everyone else, aren't we? We're just keeping on, aren't we? I've run out of words to say about it. So we just make best with what we've got. So on the Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio, the Kogan Mobile Open Line is open for business. The number is 1-300-23-55-48. Put it in your phone for a big period of trade action. And the text line dedicated to us here at Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. You can drop us a texty anytime you like. 0419 187 323. Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. You can find them at continental-tyres.com.au. So what sort of trade period do you think we're going to get, Coons? Do you think we're going to get a busy one?
Well, I'm wondering how many people that you are going to get sacked this year because you had a bumper trade period last year. You single-handedly took down 8 staff members, 4 players from the Collingwood Football Club.
Now you're just being silly.
After some of those more documents you've intercepted.
Now you're just being silly. But
there's a lot of big names that have re-signed throughout the year, even a few free agents that we thought may get to this period and heat up. So there's not a lot of talent in terms of elite talent left over for this trade period. Chera is the big one, and he's not at elite status yet, but I think he'll get there. So that's going to be a pick in the tens, which we'll get into over the next 13 days. But you're the man to ask. Has it been a quiet-ish period over the last couple of weeks?
It's great to have Continental Tyres on board because there has been a lot of Continental Tyres kicking, to be honest, at the moment. A lot of tyre kicking, a lot of shadow boxing. What we don't have is we don't have Collingwood having a salary cap mayor again, unfortunately, because that was great for content.
Great content.
I don't think we're going to hear a lot from Adrian Dodoro again, a great hero and villain of trade period in equal measure. So I don't think we're going to have a lot. Essendon, while they've got Jake Kelly coming in, of course, from the Crows as a free agent, I think they're wedded to the draft this year at this stage. And at this stage, I think we're missing a big fish. It's a bit like Christmas, Coons. You know, a lot of smaller presents wrapped up under the tree, but sort of no Apple Watch or Xbox at the moment. Just more a few puzzles, the odd board game, maybe a bit of Guess Who or something, a bit of Scrabble. So enough to talk about. but we're hoping and praying that we get another Lachie Neal perhaps come from somewhere, which history says we might get.
Well, that's the iPhone, isn't it? That's the new next-gen iPhone that's just sitting under the tree waiting to be unwrapped. And I know you said it's been very quiet on that front since Lachie announced that he was staying. Is there, because generally when there's a bit of friction, there's a bit of smoke, and when there's a bit of smoke, there's a little bit of fire.
You don't think it's dead?
That happens.
You think it might still be on the vine?
I think there might be just maybe 2%. And if there's 2% in it, we'll drip it dry.
Shades of Dane Beams at the same club.
Well, he was staying. Best and fairest he announced that he was staying.
I love you guys, I'm staying.
Two first rounders later.
Yeah. So, okay, let's see what happens there. I'm collating these texts as we speak, Coons. But with the Christmas theme, it got me thinking about, I guess, our listeners today, what would be on your wish list? Day one of trade period. So let's start off with a wish list. What do you want for your club? Who do you want? And what are you prepared to give up to get it if you had a Christmas list? So we might discuss that over the course of the next couple of hours. You can send us a text 0419 187 323 and the Kogan Mobile open line 1300 2355 48. Off the text from Rowan Coons, one of your old clubs. Just wondering what you might know and think about Dale Tapping, Essendon's new forward assistant coach. Thanks heaps. That one's from Rowan. He's highly regarded, Dale Tapping. I haven't had anything to do with him, but everyone I ask about him is one of those guys that you never hear a bad word about. Obviously, leaving Brisbane, wanted to come back to Victoria for family reasons, and I reckon that's a really good get for the Bombers.
Always a good start, and they need a key forward in this trade period, Essendon. So I know Harrison Jones is a developing youngster, but they got shown that they need some talent in that forward line, the key department in that big forward against the Western Bulldogs. So he's got a little bit to work with there. He's got a few youngsters coming through. It'd be great to hear what Anthony McDonald, Tipping Woody, is up to in this off-season and what happened towards the back end of the year there. Would have been handy. So he's got a fair bit to work with. I think they're not going to be super aggressive in this trade period, Essendon, because Ben Rutten feels like he can develop the talent that they've got within the footy club. He showed with a few structural changes and positional changes from some guys that worked really well. So he knows what he's doing, he knows his stuff. He can see and identify talent and not afraid to put players in different positions, and it worked really well for the Bombers this year. So with Dale Tapping coming on board the forward line, I think it's good signs for the Bombers. They won't be super aggressive, but if one did pop up that they could get reasonably cheap. We've thrown Sam Wiedemann out in past seasons.
Well, they got their business done pretty early with Jake Kelly, so he's going to come across as the defender who can play on the tools and the smalls, and perhaps that Cody Waitman performance in the elimination final put paid to that as well. Just someone who can play on that dangerous sort of live wire forward, and he'd been looking for a trade for a couple of years, I think, Jake Kelly, but now that he's an unrestricted free agent, that one will get done pretty quick, I reckon, as soon as the window opens.
Yeah, that's good, and it's just it bolsters their defence. I mean, what's happening with Michael Hurley? They've got a few 200-centimetre players. I think Zach Reed is another one who they really fancy. So there's plenty of upside with the Bombers. That's why I don't think they'll be super aggressive. It's always good to get a free agent in. It's a good sign for your footy club going forward, and it'll bolster that defence, which is something they need.
We'll get through some of these texts in a moment, but Ryan's called in from Queensland on the Kogan Mobile open line here on the Continental Tires AFL Day One Trade Radio. Ryan, thanks for waiting so patiently, mate. We got you there, Rhino. He might have just walked away from the handset for a while, Coons. I thought he was waiting patiently, but perhaps the patience ran out. If you pick up the phone, Ryan, give us another buzz back if you feel the need. Off the text, Coons. Hi, team. I've heard that Peter Laddams wants to get to the Saints, but haven't heard if the Saints are after him. I think he would be a great fit. What are your thoughts? That's from Adam down in Tassie. A pretty interesting situation, the Peter Laddams one, Coons, who, of course, is a regular in that side. 1 year remaining on his three-year deal. Had a really blunt exit meeting. Ooh. Some 2 days after a pretty horrible preliminary final loss. So emotions perhaps still running high there. He is happy there. Or he was happy there, should he move. Grew up 2 minutes from the ground. He's a Port Adelaide supporter. Just that feeling he's up against it every week, that he has a feeling that he could be dropped. You know, Scott Lysett runs a show in the ruck there. He wants to play ruck more than forward, but it's been the other way around just via the depth they've got in that position, of course. So can he get the best out of himself at that footy club with the pecking order in place? Dean Brogan's gone. The cuts to the soft cap. Justin Westhoff's actually the ruck coach there. So he's asking all these questions. I think he was happy to stay, but the club came to him and said, We'd like you to explore your options elsewhere. It's a back-ended deal as well. So he had done the right thing up until now and putting money back.
Yeah.
So read into that what you will. I think Port Adelaide pretty big in the back-ending sort of caper. So that's one to keep an eye on, Peter Laddams. There is interest there, whether it's from the Saints who are looking for rucks depth. We know the Western Bulldogs are in the market for a ruckman, whether at that price or the trade that Port Adelaide would command, which you think would be a sizable one. But it's one of those ones where a strange sort of situation. I don't know if it had anything to do with Jordan Dawson. They thought they were going to get him and perhaps someone needed to go out and the horses bolted. But Peter Laddams currently looking for a move elsewhere, and I think that's what will happen.
Well, it's perplexing from looking at it externally because I thought that the Lysette-Laddams combination worked really well for the majority of the season for Port Adelaide. And if you're looking at St Kilda as an option, it's a similar position to the Paddy Ryder, Rowan Marshall. So you can't see... at least for another year, maybe two, for Paddy Ryder to retire. So I see that as a similar... so his Lysette's 29. I think he's probably 30 leading into next season. Do you just bide your time, have one more year as that second ruckman, playing a bit forward and try and work on your forward marking and your one-on-one stuff, so
and
you're actually more effective.
Yeah, the bridges haven't been burnt to the point where he can't possibly go back there, but he's probably more, I think, as the time we speak now, more got his head around playing somewhere else. But he could go back, as you say, for all those sort of reasons. So,
but Port Adelaide are still in the window for at least another couple of years.
Scotty Lice at 29, as you mentioned.
You would think. So if you're looking at it from a purely... so the Western Bulldogs would be a better option than St Kilda, I think. So you could step in and be the number one man, possibly the number two man. You hope that English becomes the number one ruck next year. And if at Steph Martin at 34, 35 years of age, there's a good opportunity for him to come in and play more ruck time than you would get at St Kilda. You've got to bide your time, I think, at the Saints for another year or two. And you might have to do the same at Port Adelaide. If you want to be that genuine sort of 50-50 ruck option, the Western Bulldogs will be it, whether or not they're willing to stump up the cash for Peter Laddams on that back end of deal. You never know. But I think the logical choice for me would be to stay at Port Adelaide and then try and take the mantle as that number one ruck after season 2022.
And Sam Hayes is the other one who they've got there in the wings, the young, very promising junior ruckman who they re-signed recently and fought to keep a hold of course. And that was the other thing. They fought and they kept Peter Laddams when the whole Aaliyah trade went down as well. So things have changed seemingly 12 months on. Ralphie's text through Coons and says, how does Adam Chera get to the D's if he chooses them? Well, I'll tell you what, Ralphie, if Adam Chera nominates the Melbourne Football Club, we've just had trade period turn completely on its head because it would be absolutely fascinating what sort of pressure would come to bear to get a trade done there if Adam Chera nominated Melbourne. It's possible. We still think it'll be Carlton. But as of the weekend, Fremantle have been told nothing, Carlton the same. So we're still waiting for formal word from the Adam Chera camp about what club he will nominate.
Well, if he does nominate the Premiers, they've got picks 33, 42 and 54. So it would have to be a Premiership player involved in that trade or some heavy accounting work to work themselves up to a first-round pick.
Or does the pressure really get put on, you know, he's an uncontracted player. Does Fremantle really get pressure put on them? Could it be a future pick? Could it be a future first-rounder? Which, it's Melbourne, so it probably wouldn't be great as well. Could there be something along those lines done if a player's not going to go there? I mean, history says if they nominate the club, it generally happens.
Yeah, so a future first for Melbourne doesn't satisfy it. Sorry, for Fremantle doesn't satisfy that from a Melbourne perspective. It's have to get into your future picks as in a first and a second. So that's when it starts to get pretty interesting. But given what their hand this year and also where they're finished, it makes it tough to get that deal done. But they're very creative, aren't they? The list managers.
Very creative. And the player managers themselves, whoever, if this was to be the case that Adam Chera did hypothetically nominate Melbourne, then his management team, Connor Sports, that's when they go into overdrive and they play a big part in orchestrating these trades and what they look like at the end of the day. It's a fascinating process.
We'll have to look at Melbourne's list and see if there's any Western Australian players who
there is
work
a couple.
Their way back. There's a guy, Luke Jackson.
He's not going anywhere. Angus Brayshaw says he's not going anywhere for Everlink. I think Trent Rivers is a West Australian boy as well.
Yeah, young fella. Young player, so all three had magnificent nights on Saturday night too. So, and they're going to want to hang around and be part of hopefully some sustained success at the D. So look, it makes it really difficult. So the worth of Adam Chera has been discussed. Some punters seem to think that he's not worth a top 10 pick. I think given that what he's been able to execute in the first four He's 4 years in, so fifth year next year.
Yep.
Adam Cherett, a top five pick. I think what he's shown and his development, I think it's well worth that top 10 pick. Sixers. I mean, some people are thinking that's obvious for Adam Cherry because he hasn't established himself as a star. But if you're going to go pick six to the draft, you're not guaranteed to get a star. So he's showed on his resume already what he can do with the ball. I see he's a great ball user. He can accumulate it. And he makes good decisions. So he's showed that he can be an elite player at the AFL level. I think he'll get there in another 2 to 3 years' time. So well worth the top 10 pick, I think.
Yeah, well, Carlton have got pick six. It'll probably be pick eight, really, once the father, sons, Dacos and Darcy come to be a factor there. So it might be pick eight or nine by the time draft night actually rolls around. I would think that's a fair exchange, but we'll see how it plays out. There was lots of haggling over Adam Saad this time last year as well when it came to Carlton giving up that first round pick. So probably some water still to go under the bridge there. It's day one of Continental Ties AFL Trade Radio. Sam Edmund, Adam Cooney with you. And because it's day one, give us your wish list off the Kogan Mobile Open Line, 1300 23 55 48. Your club, who do you want to come in? Who are you prepared to give up to get them? You can drop us a text as well, 0419 187 323. This is Trade Afternoons for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is back. Oh, yes, lots of texts coming through here on Trade Afternoons for McDonald's, where the Monopoly game at Macca's is back. Sam Edmund with you and the Brownlow medalist and the mayor of the mega trade, Adam Cooney, who's opened in fine style this afternoon. We're with you until 3 o'clock on day one of Continental Ties AFL Trade Radio. Plenty to get through. But as I said, the Kogan open line has been busy, as has the text line, Coons. And this text has just come in. If Adam Cherry is a top 10 pick, as you suggest, then so is Jordan Dawson. Dawson, 2 years older, a better player and more flexible. And we know he's nominated Adelaide as his club of choice. Coons?
Jordan Dawson is a terrific player. Will go there and be a midfielder, you'd think. Jordan Dawson has played a bit at halfback and a bit on the wing for the Swans. And you're right, 5 years into his career, he's a super user and shown that he's a really consistent performer. So I think the level that Chera can get to is above Jordan Dawson. So that's the way that I see it. And also the currency of being a top five pick and living up to that over your first 4 years. So history says you hit your peak at sort of 25 now. It's getting younger. The players are hitting their peak. Generally, it was 27, 28. Now it's sort of 24, 25. You're getting right into that. So I see more upside to Chera than Dawson. I think Dawson will be a really consistent player, but he's an A-grade player. It could get to A-grade status, Dawson.
And it'll be interesting to see what that trade looks like, though, with Adelaide and Dawson.
Well, have they got? They've got at the moment 423.
Yep.
37, 59, and 63.
There might be a pick shuffle involved there as well.
That'll be a first.
Right? Yeah, but then maybe a swap later on or something like that.
Something back.
But very, very good player. Corey from Brisbane there just asking what the deal might look like with the Crows. G'day, boys. What is the situation with Trent Dumont and Sean Attlee at the moment? I'll tell you, another big off-season of change coming at North Melbourne, off the field as well as on. Off the field, they've had a real clean out. The high-performance staff, almost all of them gone there. They're still searching for a GM of football performance to pair with Brady Rawlings. The word is that might be Daniel McPherson from the D's. In regards to Trent Dumont, unrestricted free agent, he's in the shop window. No real development there. Oliver, he's in limbo, as is Sean Attlee, who I think has been told to wait on any new deal until the trade period is complete. But we know they've got Callum Coleman-Jones in. Nice support for Nick Larkey, I reckon. And I think he's going to ruck more than play forward, though. So I think Todd Goldstein's going to make way to some degree, Coons, to get Callum Coleman-Jones in. And he's going to join on a big four-year deal.
Ooh, well, that's good news. So you feel for players like Trent Dumont and Sean Attlee, who have been wonderful servants for the Kangaroos for over a decade. So it's when you sit down in your exit meeting and you get told, well, we've just got a few deals ahead of you that need to be done, so sit tight. And I think they would have said, look, if there's some interest from other clubs, you're more than welcome to explore that. But a nervous time for players at this stage. When you're a free agent and you don't have too many suitors, you sort of just got to sit back and wait for one or two trades to get done before you can ink a deal. So good news that Coleman Jones will be joining the Roos in that ruck forward. So he'll be down there with Suvalaki, which is
he will be.
A nice bit of synergy because he got himself in trouble with Suvalaki.
Well, we know he likes
Coleman Jones last year.
He likes a Suva, doesn't he?
He's quite fond of it. So they could work well together.
Or a kebab. Might have been a kebab. No. So you got the kebab and the Suvalaki together in the forward line.
Working in tandem.
Oh, I like that.
Throwing a few punches.
I think Robbie Tarrant caught them off guard to a degree. They just offered him the one-year contract and he gets the two from Richmond. So then North come up to the table and offer their two. But by then, the horse had bolted. So I think they were quite surprised that a rival club was willing to offer the two. But at the same time, I think Richmond were blindsided to a degree that David Asprey retired and they've lost some experience back there with Bashir Hawley moving on as well. So it makes sense from a Richmond perspective. The two-year deal and Jack Zeeble as well. They only offered the one-year deal to him and then ponied up for the two in the end, North Melbourne. So they've been aggressive as they look to rebuild, haven't they?
Yes, they have. The Sean Higgins factor, I think that was, signing the two-year deal. So good news. We've got Coleman Jones and also, funnily enough, Robbie Tarrant will be involved in the mega trade.
Oh.
This afternoon.
Now, the mega trade has got the clearance to launch at what time?
1400 hours.
2 o'clock.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for that.
I've just got to work out. I still don't understand it.
Did it get its tweaks that was
there? It's got its tweaks. So I said to the boys and when we were working it out, well, how come you've thrown Robbie Tarrant in as a free agent into this? But it's all got to do with compensation.
Mm-hmm. Not condensation.
No.
Compensation.
So there you go. Stay tuned.
Very nice. We're going to roll through some clubs' wish lists as well, Coons, because we thought on day one we'd throw that out there. Christmas style, what do you want to unwrap under the tree for your club if you can orchestrate a trade? Who's going out and who's coming in? And what perhaps you think your club needs? So we're just collating them at the moment. When I look at the Crows, I think Jordan Dawson comes in. They do need some midfield support in there, don't they? And Brisbane's interesting. So Hipwood is recovering from, obviously, the full-blown knee reconstruction for next year. They've made contact with Levi Casbolt now. Ooh. As have the Gold Coast Suns. And the Gold Coast Suns have gone a little bit quiet on the Casbolt front since Marbiel Chol has joined. So I think, look, if you're Levi Casbolt, you're a realist. You know where you're at with your career. You might not get another chance. But he's kept himself fit. Brisbane have shown an interest. And we'll see whether they actually follow through on that just for some support. Some support for Joe Danaher in the front half as well while Eric Hipwood recovers.
It's not a bad option if you... Obviously, he's not going to cost you the world. I think Fullerton will provide that other option, but it's always good to have extra numbers and backup, and him and Joe can get together and do some set shot goal kicking training together in the off season.
Yes, they can.
Kick a few barrels of footies out there, empty the bin. So it's always good to have the backup options there. The other one is the second ruck option too. Could Levi help out?
Yeah,
Oscar McInerney in the ruck.
Yep. Yep.
Just throw himself into it.
And he comes on the cheap. We know things are tight up there in Brisbane, but Levi would come for a pretty penny. The Blues, we know they need more midfield support, which is why Adam Chera is on the hook. He would be a nice addition to that midfield if you're of the Carlton persuasion. Collingwood are interesting the way they go about things, I think, because they're looking to stockpile picks for Nick Dacos. But at the same time, they're really confident they're going to get Pat Lipinski in from the Western Bulldogs, and they're really confident they're going to get Nathan Kruger in from Geelong. And at the same time, though, they've got a match, potentially, a bid at number one for Nick Dacos. Now, there's a lot of options for them there. They can swap picks later on. They can get later picks in. No one's saying that it's not an insurmountable process that they need to go through. And worst case scenario, they can even go into deficit for next year to get Nick Dacos in, which they absolutely have to do, given he is... if not one of the best players in next year's draft pool. So how they go about it will be interesting. And maybe Nick Dacos is gets taken through the preseason draft. Mm. These clubs have got to take three players at the draft this year as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the Pies navigate it.
Yeah, well, the obvious sticking point is they don't have that first round pick to work with this year, the Pies. So that helps with your index points to try and get Dacos. And they're 36, 39, 41. So they're going to have to package up as much as they can to get him, unless you talk about the preseason draft option. Whereas a pick like 39 is a pretty simple one to get a player like Pat Lipinski across. But that all gets tied up in their priority in Dacos.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not quite the fire sale of last year, but they've still got their issues to try and get some players across.
Well, Graham Wright was honest enough to term it a hangover several months ago when he was on here on SEN to say there were still a few things to work out. And there was a bit of smoke about Braden Maynard, but he's not going anywhere. There was just him waiting for a coach to come in and know who that was and then go through the process.
So. What about the pre-agents?
What about them?
From the Pies.
Yeah, Jordan DeGoey's of the world.
Jordan DeGoey and Darcy Moore.
I can't see it, to be honest. It's not really a market that would have a club falling over to offer huge cash, as good as those players
you don't
are,
think
particularly
so.
Darcy Moore. No, I don't think...
You don't think someone's going to stump up for Jordan DeGoey? What about his back end of season 2021?
Yeah,
terrific.
I just can't see it this year for two reasons. There's nothing to suggest that Jordan DeGoey wants to go anywhere.
Well, they both signed the short-term deals to get themselves to free agency status.
Yep.
Which can sometimes be posturing to,
of course,
to get yourself a big deal.
Leverage.
But it also gives you the option to walk out.
Smart and, management, I would
And
have.
Don't get much in terms of compensation back for what they're worth. So the two first rounders is an interesting one.
You've done some homework on this.
Well, it's fraught with danger, really.
Giving them up.
Giving up the two first rounders.
Yeah.
And sometimes three.
Who's giving up two first rounders this year?
Well, I'm talking about pre-agents. You might be able to get two first rounders for Darcy Moore and Jordan DeGoey. And when I say might, definitely.
One each?
No, you don't think that both those players would be worthy of two first rounders into Collingwood this year?
No.
You don't think?
No.
Really?
No.
A first and a future first
certainly
for
not
a
Jordan,
club?
Certainly not Jordan DeGoey.
Really?
No.
You don't rate Jordan DeGoey?
You just told me giving up two first round picks is fraught with danger. I'm agreeing with you. It's fraught with danger.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop clubs from doing it.
No.
And the position that Collingwood find themselves in with giving up their first rounder for this year, which is gone, and then being in the 30s and having to...
I think if you're Collingwood, you're keeping both of those players,
I think you're...
And you're trying to sign them to long-term deals.
Well, you just said that they're not worth that much.
No, they're not worth two first-round picks if you're a rival club at the moment, I don't think. Maybe Darcy Moore would be.
Well, I want to hear from Collingwood supporters and the football world to see if they agree with you about that, because I'm of the opinion that they might get those two first rounders.
Okay. But if you're Collingwood, you're not moving them on, eh?
You wouldn't want to, but where are Collingwood at?
Offer too good to refuse, you think? Well, there are.
There can be those ones that pop up.
There's a reset underway down there. We know that, of course, under Craig McRae, Justin Lepich, and the team there at Collingwood.
But the two first rounders. The homework that I did just this morning. So, there's been Tim Kelly, Jeremy Cameron.
Hang on, don't blow all your homework now. We're going to get into this a little bit later, aren't we?
Oh, okay.
You want to get into this a little bit later? Because we need to take a break now. We've got a big news update to get through.
But I'm happy to keep my powder dry.
Just keep your powder dry.
Which will give me some time during the ad break to get the text machine back up and running, which is... shut down four or five times on me now. So.
Likewise, I'd love to be able to read out your text. So we'll hope to get that sorted out here on Trade Afternoons. After the break, we'll have a news wrap. Adam Cooney, I've got some developments with James Kelly going back to Geelong and Tim O'Brien on the move from Hawthorn. And we can tell you one of the clubs that he's front of queue in terms of inquiring about the services for Tim O'Brien for next year. You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental, continental-tires.com.au.
A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles.
Yes, indeed. Time for a trade update here on Trade Afternoons for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is back. Sam Edmund and the Brownlow medalist Adam Cooney with you up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Tim O'Brien at the Hawthorn Footy Club Coons. 19 games this year, but an unrestricted free agent. Hasn't received any contract offer from Hawthorn yet. And I think, well, joining the dots, he would be aware that if one was going to happen, it would have probably happened by now. So he thinks he'll be playing elsewhere if given the chance. And Port Adelaide are one of the clubs that have inquired about Tim O'Brien, perhaps even as a defender, I've been told, but clearly can play forward as well, offer some support for the back line, but perhaps some insurance up forward for Charlie Dixon and company. So very early in the process here. And if it does come to fruition, you'd think it'll be later rather than sooner, but the power have definitely come knocking for Tim O'Brien.
Not sure. Thoughts? Not sure about it. He certainly doesn't walk into the Port Adelaide side, given Jonas Lira-Lear, McKenzie, who at times is throwing punches out of his weight division, and at the other end of the ground you've got Todd Marshall, Georgiades as their second and third tall options behind Charlie Dixon. So I don't see him just sliding into a ready-made role for O'Brien. But if it's the only option available as a free agent, then you sit back and obviously you want to be on an AFL list.
Yeah.
So in 2022, and you then back yourself in to maybe take Trent McKenzie's spot. I'm still surprised that Jonas doesn't take the big key forwards. Mm. I don't understand the thinking behind it.
So 19 games this year for Tim O'Brien, 16 the year before that, 16, 12, 16, 14. So he's been there and thereabouts without having the career that perhaps some expected, in the sense that it hasn't quite ever taken flight. So maybe a change of clubs is what he needs. So Port Adelaide have come knocking there. Down at Geelong, Coons, they've lured their triple premiership playing star James Kelly back to the club as an assistant coach. So Kelly, a name all supporters know well down that way, also finished his career at Essendon, 313 games, I think. But he won flags at the Cats in 07, 09 and 2011. And he does return, almost the first one back in after the big clean out of Chris Scott's coaching team. We know that Matty Knights has gone to West Coast, Corey Enright to St Kilda. Matty Scarlett's stepping out of footy for a year, we think. And Nigel Lappin remains there for now as Steve Hocking comes in as the CEO and the man who's become known as the agent of change, Adam Cooney. And there's certainly been change at Geelong already this offseason.
Well, there has certainly been some action. Off-field action,
yes,
at the Cats. So, past players out, past players in. So three gone. Is that alarming? It says that maybe not everything is hunky-dory.
Well, maybe just the time had come for some change, some fresh eyes, some fresh minds, and I think the new CEO coming in would probably have a bit to do with that.
Year of leisure for James Kelly. Spent the year doing not much.
Well, he was looking after his family. He's a stay-at-home dad.
Saw him.
He did quit suddenly, didn't he, in February at Essendon after a few years there to look after his little ones?
Yep, he did.
Our you kids, saw him?
Kids go to the same school.
As you?
So I'll see him at school pickup.
Is that right?
Every now and then.
So he was commuting.
Man of leisure, just cruises around in his tracksuit pants most of the day.
Is he going to have to put some other pants on, I think? He
might have to put some new cat pants on.
So has he been commuting from down there up to when he was at Essendon, obviously up to Tullamarine?
Yeah, yeah, I'm not too sure about the situation there, but I know for the last year he's been living down in Geelong. It's not that far of a drive anyway, up the highway. Put on one of your podcasts and
Interceptor. Probably better ways freeway to pass the time. But so with obviously the past players coming back into Geelong, I know you didn't play in the hoops, but you live down that way. Has Hock been in touch?
I might take the mids, given there's a mass exodus. They want to mix it up a little bit too, don't they? They don't want all ex-Geelong players leaving and then but old when you Cats win, players coming back.
Isn't it funny when you win all those premiers? Like the Brisbane Lions alumni at the moment with McRae and Leper. Well, no, but they've been part of it. Not saying that at all. They've been part of a successful team, so it stands to reason that you often see that, don't you? When you're part of a successful organisation, you go on and fill out coaches' boxes across the competition. So we're seeing that with all the old Cats who've had a lot of success and they turn their hand to coaching and they're pretty good at it.
Yeah, they are. A couple of spots to fill. So Lingy. And who else? Maybe David Wojcicki could be go back there next year.
Could Moons maybe quit Bounce and get in the coach's box?
Yeah. Well, he did a bit of part-time coaching at the Dishies.
He did.
When he's down there, he's just used to sit back and laugh at us at training. Think,
oh, do you overlapped?
Yeah, we overlapped. Okay. We spent some time together. Had some good one-on-ones.
How was he as a development?
He was good, yeah. Oh, he was there with Scarlo.
Yep.
So it was a very Geelong flavour at that stage. Mm. So probably almost too much.
So I think the Cats will announce that very, very soon that James Kelly is going back to the club to work alongside Chris Scott. And he'll have a very, very new look coaching team down there in season 2022. Now, Tom Morris, Fox Sports. Coons is reporting that Robbie Gray has put pen to paper on a new deal at Port Adelaide, as has Riley Bonner, who shows a bit, I reckon. He has also signed a new deal to stay at the Power. So a couple of recommitments there from Port Adelaide who have, it must be said, we've spoken about them a bit already today. They're going to have a pretty eventful off-season by the looks.
Sounds like it. Riley Bonner, he was clearly their best player in a horrible final.
He was good,
final.
Wasn't he?
He was terrific, so no surprises that he's inked a new deal there. They're probably in need of, I would say, another small forward, a Robbie Gray type replacement, because at some stage you want Butters and Rosie to be 80% midfielders. You expect them to push up, and then Horacio Fantasia's had his injury concerns over his short time at Port Adelaide. So I think if they could get one during this trade period for the Robbie Gray replacement, arguably Port Adelaide's best player of all time, it's going to be tough to replace him. But he's going to go on for one more year and hopefully get that flag.
And look, some big meetings to take place this week with Jordan Clark and Geelong as well, just staying with the Cats for a moment. So he's contracted for next year, of course, but for the second time in 2 years, just weighing up his options. Again, big interest from out west and Fremantle, and he has met with the Dockers last week, having gone back to Perth. So it'd be interesting to see how the Cats approach this one, whether they are willing to accept or entertain offers for him, whether they hold him, which they've been known to do with their players, should an appropriate offer not come. It's not as simple as Matty Scarlett out and he stays. I think that the issues are perhaps a bit more wide-ranging than that. Suffice to say that Matty Scarlett is the defensive coach. Didn't like him as a defender. Mm. And that's how he was drafted. That's where he made his name in the under-18. So he's been playing in other positions in the VFL, but they had a clash, so to speak. But now that Matty Scarlett's not there, it remains to be seen whether he can stay around and perhaps play regularly where he wants to play. And I also think the Cats would have liked a harder edge from Jordan Clark, but that's who he is.
Maybe not. That's not his style of play. So don't try and turn him into someone that he's not. He's not a man that I would want to cross, Matthew Scarlett. I think he's a pretty angry sort of character, so you don't want to really fire up with Scarlo.
But and maybe that kick mark philosophy they have down there as well, he didn't quite suit that either.
Yeah, he's a running player. He's got speed. He likes to take the game on and break lines, and I think Geelong needed more of that. I would have wanted to get an assurance that I'd be playing senior footy, and you're never going to get that 100%, but I would, given what has happened and the talent that he's got, I think he slots into most sides in their 22 and hasn't been able to cement his spot in that side. So I would say enough's enough for Jordan Clark. I'd want to head back home, and if it's Fremantle, it's Fremantle. If it's looking likely and that pick in the mid-20s will be used around that 27 that they've got at the moment, which the Cats sort of need to try and work their way up. And it might be involved in the mega trade a bit later on. But
I think the Cats have got a fight to keep these guys, though, don't they? They represent the future.
But they don't play them.
No, they've had to be patient. They've had to be really patient. They're going to have to play them soon.
Well, it's at a tipping point now, isn't it? But they top up with Isaac Smith and Sean Higgins. So that's another two spots that and Narkle played a bit of senior footy, but Constable and also Clark find themselves another down the pegging list.
So Narkle stayed. Whether they were banging the door down interest-wise there, the jury's probably out on. But he stays and re-signs. And then Clark we've spoken about. Kruger leaves. Constable would like to leave but just hasn't had the interest either. So he hasn't got a new home. So whether history repeats and he signs on for one more year like he did last year, that could well be the case. So plenty happening off-field, plenty happening on-field at the preliminary finalist Cats.
Would you go if you were Jordan Clark?
You'd want
so they would be trying to sell that, listen, we're in this window of another year, so we can win it again next year with the mature players that we've got before they really do drop off the cliff. That would be how they're selling it, and they would say, look, we need some youth, we need to introduce more, we understand that, but I wouldn't be inclined to believe that. So, and kids are impatient now, they want to play senior footy every week. And he's had some opportunity, but not to the extent that he would feel comfortable that he's in that best side. And Fremantle, I think, would be a great fit for him. He would go, obviously, back home, feel comfortable about where Fremantle are at in terms of the list. They'd put his name on the magnet, on the wing maybe, off running off half-back, and it just looks more comfortable. So if I'm Jordan Clark, I would have run out of belief that I'm in that best 22 for the Cats anyway.
Our news wrap was for Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. You can visit them at icanwin.com.au. Right, we'll take a break, Coons, but the good news is our phone lines are back up and running. I can see all the texts in front of us here, so let's open the lines up, shall we? The Kogan Mobile Open Line. Give us a buzz. 1300 23 55 48. You can drop us a text as well, 0419 187 323. Or if the socials take your fancy, you can find us, of course, the handle is at Trade Radio. Let's open up the lines on the other side of this. This is Trade Afternoons for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is back. Oh, yes, you're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Day one, Sam Edmund and the Brownlow medalist Adam Cooney with you. We start at one, we finish at three each and every day. We've opened up the lines, Coons, because we were getting a little bit lonely in here. You can give us a buzz. Yeah, 1-300-23-55-48. Let's start with Harry in St. Helena. You want to talk about the Tigers there, Harry?
Yeah, guys. How are we?
We're going well.
Hey, Harry.
I know a lot's been said about the Tigers and their draft hand this year being strong. What do you guys reckon? I know midfield depth is probably something they probably need to build up a little bit extra. for the next couple of seasons, because I think their clearance sort of work's been a little bit down. So defensively, we're looking all right, I suppose. Forward, we're looking all right. So I don't know. I reckon midfield depth and get some new kids in. What do you reckon?
Yeah, spot on. There's probably another option for a small crumbing forward as well, given that Shea Bolton back up into the midfield or getting a lot more midfield
Rioli
minutes.
Rioli.
Yeah, Rioli, halfback.
No, get him forward.
Do you like him forward? I think he played really well. Drive off halfback. Just wasn't consistent enough in that small forward role. It's looking likely. Robbie, you'd know more about the Robbie Tarrant situation.
What about Morris Rioli, Jr.? Yes. Get him forward.
Get him forward.
And this is where he does his thing.
Yeah. Okay. What about the Tarrant situation?
Yep. Tarrant goes. 2-year contract there, which Harry will know. David Asprey's gone. So Robbie Tarrant comes in as the replacement, which I think. What do you think about that, Harry? Sage piece of business from your mob?
I think for the short term, it's not a bad idea, actually. I think it was fairly smart. I mean, Tarrant's a good footballer. Whether his body holds up, that's another story. But. And also, I'm thinking the other one that I'm really puzzled about over the last couple of years has been Josh Caddy. You know, they're saying that he's too slow. I reckon he'd make a perfect half forward again. Like, remember, 18, he kicked, almost 50 goals that year. So, don't know. He could maybe slot in for that half forward sort of post, help out Jack and the big fella, you know. Lynch.
Have you kept your eye, Harry, on some of the players during this trade period? Would you be happy if someone like Luke Dunstan came to your club to add midfield depth? There's also a couple of other players who have been either half-slash-retired, half-delisted. Hamish Hartlett from Port Adelaide. There's a couple of guys who you wouldn't have to pay a lot of money to that could add some depth to that midfield.
Hartlett's an interesting one. I know the Tigers talked to him about 5 years ago, apparently. So I don't know, but I know there's a few kids. Apparently Tom Green from GWS, being, you know, grandson of the great Michael Green Ruckman, I know they've been sort of, he's been on the radar, but apparently he's off the table now. But apparently next year possibly still might be lots of interest there, because he's a good age. He's, you know, he's a good ball getter. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Plenty of rumours.
Cost you an absolute stack.
Yeah, plenty of rumours about Tom Green, Harry, but he did, you're right, he just recently put pen to paper on a 2-year deal to stay at GWS. Appreciate the call. I reckon the Tigers will reset pretty quickly, Coons. Ryan's in Caulfield. You want to talk about Collingwood there, Ryan?
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are we?
Good, Ryan.
That's it. Just wanted to get your thoughts. Obviously, well, firstly, just in regards to Darcy Moore and Jordan DeGoey,
yes,
certainly wouldn't be, I'd be looking to keep them. As I'd be looking to hold tight on them as much as we can. We need as many quality players in that sort of 25-year-old age group as we can at the moment. So be working pretty hard to keep them. But the reason I'm calling is just in regards to Patrick Lipinski. I think it was you, Coons, that mentioned pick 39 would probably get it done for him. Just looking at Dogs, obviously they... one area they struggle in is the ruck. So what about a player swap for a Max Lynch type?
Yeah, that's come through on the text a couple of times as well, Ryan. Maybe Max Lynch for Pat Lipinski, straight swap.
So he's had some limited opportunities through there, Max Lynch. He's actually been linked to a couple of other clubs already, I think. So it's funny how this time of year you just look to a player who's maybe played three or four games, wants some more opportunities. And at times, you're right, Ryan, it could be horses for courses if Lipinski wants to get there and they don't feel a real need for or an opportunity for Max Lynch going forward. It could be a great fit for the Dogs and a good fit for the Pies with Lipinski going there. But quite often, the simple can get really confusing in this trade period, can't it?
Thanks for the call.
Sometimes a too simple a deal just can't happen. It's got to involve a pick 56 going back the other way.
There's got to be a swap.
A future eighth rounder.
It's got to be a pick swap, Coons. You know that. As exactly the mayor of the mega trade. Appreciate the call, Ryan. Hey, Jeff, Romeo text in Coons. Ridiculous comment. Why would you get rid of Jordan DeGoey and Darcy Moore? They are the best two players at the club.
They are the best two players, but I was just trying to think of management going forward. So you get rid of one good player, you get two first rounders. So you get two good players for the one good player.
Very nice. Gabrielle is in Melbourne. Want to talk about the Kangas there, Gabe? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Gabe, boys. How you boys going?
Well, we're good. Going well here.
Yeah, I was just calling about North's involvement in the trade period. Obviously, it looks like we're going to get Coleman Jones and Tarrant at the door. I'm a bit worried about our lacking depth for tall defence and small forwards. I know Noble's targeted a halfback and a tall forward, and obviously we're going for Coleman Jones now. But yeah, I'm just a bit worried about our small forward depth and our tall backline depth. I'm not sure who we should go for to help that, or should we just go straight to the draft?
I think tall defenders have been okay down there. I think Mackay's pretty handy. I think he's got a reasonable future there. It's small forwards.
But Aiden Corr as well had a shocking run with injury this year. So you hope turf toe and the like, you hope that doesn't happen again and he can get a full season in, and that'll make a big difference as well. I think Taran out, you'd like a, logically, Gabe, you'd like a replacement for. I think the club's been doing a bit of tie kicking in that department. I know Daniel Taylor, his name's been around for a while. He might very well stay in Adelaide and just move on from life after football if the offer isn't to his liking. He's set up there and got a job and got himself sorted out for life after the game. And then Tom Cleary's the other one that a few clubs have been quiet about at Port Adelaide, is that sort of rangy defender, if you like, but a heavily back-ended deal. So it makes it hard for rival clubs to get him out of the door there, given it's so heavily back-ended and he's due a lot of money over the next couple of years. But I think in an ideal world, Coons, they would like some backup when it comes to a key back or a mid-sized defender.
Yeah, and a guy you mentioned earlier who's sitting back at the moment as a free agent is in Tim O'Brien, who could just walk to your club as a bit of depth too. So,
yep.
I mean, there's options there. Obviously, losing Robbie Tarrant isn't ideal. The short-term fix for Richmond is ideal for them. So, yeah, you look around, and if you can get someone as a free agent in that's sitting back and doesn't have a club like O'Brien and back them in for a bit of depth, and then maybe that's the case. But, yeah, you're always looking for some new small forwards to stay at the feet of those bigger guys at North Melbourne.
Anything else you wanted to ask, Gabriel? I felt that you might have had a few more shots to fire there.
Yeah, well, I'm just very, very interested in Bobby Hill. I was wondering if he's contracted, how long is his contract? And,
I'll look that up, Coons.
Yes, you
I'm
look
sure
that up.
Sure, Bobby Hill's contract status at the moment.
Yeah, so he's
2022.
Okay, so you've got another year to wait for Ian Bobby Hill. But, yeah, they're the players who provide your X factor and your spark and only need one or two moments in the forward line to create brilliance. So, but, yeah, as you said, he's contracted for another year, so watch your space.
Thanks for the call, Gabriel. Tom's in Moorabbin. G'day, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I was just wondering about Brisbane. I heard we were potentially looking at Darcy Fort as well as Levi Casbolt, but I thought he'd retired, so I'm just wondering if you know anything about that.
Yeah, no, Darcy Fort is true. He's another one that that Brisbane have inquired about, Tom. That is right. And Levi Casbolt, well, he wasn't offered a new contract by Carlton. He hasn't announced his retirement yet. I mean, he's a realist, as we said earlier. He's prepared for life after football, but should he be given the opportunity from the Lions? I don't think it's going to be Gold Coast now that Marbiel Chol's gone up there and they're so tight and all those players signed up for next year. I think his only avenue is Brisbane. Have you got a choice between the two? Preference?
Maybe Casbolt because of the experience.
Yep. Yep.
Darcy Fort's only played 8 games, I believe.
Yeah. No, Levi, no luck with injury this year. Levi played hurt for a lot of the year, but 31 years of age, maybe a bit banged up. But with Eric Hipwood out for the year, Coons, as we said earlier, he might take a bit of pressure off Joe Danaher, and he's sort of that bash and crash type that that perhaps would offset Joe nicely.
Yeah, well, if you're going to go the speculative pick, you'd go Darcy Fort in terms of future. But for now and what they need in terms of their requirements until Hipwood comes back, Levi Casbolt is the obvious choice between those two.
We might take a break on trade afternoon. So, Trav in Noble Park, sit tight. Matt in Geelong, I promise we'll get to you on the other side of this break. Right here on Trade Afternoons, it's all for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is back. Yes, you're listening to the Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Day one for season 2021. Sam Edmund, Adam Cooney with you until 3 o'clock, and we're off and running here, Coons. I think we're going
flying
well. We've still got your mega trade still to come. Much hype, much anticipation around that as well.
Much confusion.
A lot of digging into the two first-round draft picks worth as well. And Michael Voss spoke over the weekend as well about a range of issues concerning his Carlton football side, which we'll bring you shortly. But just before we go back onto the open line, some news out of GWS. Now, before we get to Jeremy Finlayson, they've had a number of players just, I guess, in the seemingly in the shop window anyway when it comes to the trade period. Jake Riccardi is one Matty Flynn is another one. But both of those players, I'm told, really, really close to signing contract extensions to stay on at GWS. So I don't think they're going anywhere. It's going to take, put it this way, a huge backflip for that to happen. I think they're going to stay, and they're very close to confirming new deals. And Kieran Briggs, a bit said about him as well, but he's actually contracted through to 2022. I think some might have had him out of contract, but that's not the case. And then there's Jeremy Finlayson, who told the club a couple of months ago that he would like a trade potentially to a South Australian club, given the family support that he requires for his baby daughter there. They don't have that in Sydney. So he's done a medical at Port Adelaide. We know that at the moment they are the only potential suitor. And at the moment, Port Adelaide haven't backed up that initial interest in terms of any sort of meaningful contact or offer for Jeremy Finlayson. So he's always been said that he's welcome to stay, and they want him to stay. GWS, they're not the ones driving it. So at the moment, still plenty to play out with Jeremy Finlayson, who could stay at GWS, who's contracted for another couple of years, Coons.
So the, I suppose the, when you're speaking about that, the eyebrows do raise when O'Brien linked to Port Adelaide and also Finlayson linked to Port Adelaide. Mm. You think, well, that's two key forwards. Is there something happening with one that's already there?
There was a text that came through. I don't know if this caught your eye about Charlie Dixon. Are we sure Charlie Dixon is staying? Is that where you're coming from?
Well, you'd hope that Charlie Dixon is staying, but if there's a couple of key forwards linked to Port Adelaide already, maybe it's a...
Is this contingency planning?
Todd Marshall or someone like that?
George Yardy?
I'm just throwing up names.
What's happening?
You can't have five key forwards in your forward line, can you? But it's when you did say that Port Adelaide had cooled their interest in Jeremy Finlayson. Well, not cooled, but they haven't
franked their initial interest, yeah, shall we say, yet, with anything of substance. So at the moment, there's nowhere for Jeremy Finlayson to go. Should they come to the table, then the clubs will need to work out a trade, which I think GWS would be open to doing. I don't think there's any suggestion they're going to hold him to his contract against his will or anything.
You turn Finlayson into a third defender, running type, ball-using defender.
Maybe.
That could be a positional shift for him that could possibly
I think their interest
well.
In Tim O'Brien is, as we said, down back primarily as well. So anyway, bit to play out there with Port Adelaide. Trav's waited ever so patiently in Noble Park. Welcome to you, Trav.
Yeah, top of the afternoon, Sam. It's good to have the winning combination of the Newshound and Coons.
Good on you, Travy.
Thank you.
You're welcome anytime, Trav.
Beautiful. Look, I'm a dog that got wounds, but I'm still optimistic, of course. But I've heard some talk today about Tim English, and I just wanted to get your take on the likelihood or the unlikelihood of Tim English leaving the Dogs. How far away, Coons, do you think he is of, I suppose, reaching that sort of maturity as a player, and can he actually hold that number one rucking spot?
He definitely can. Yeah, so I think it's more of a belief thing at the moment with Tim English. He has all the attributes, but Bevo lost belief and faith in him towards the back end of the season. And I think he regained that in the second half against Brisbane when Oscar McInerney was running right and English went into the ruck and turned that around. So obviously it was a poor game in periods of the ruck where they just got belted out of centre bounce, and it was, funnily enough, Luke Jackson who did most of the damage from centre bounce in that devastating period in the grand final. So, look, I don't think he's too far away. In terms of his attributes and what he can do forward when he's resting, he's quite clean below his knees as well when the ball's on the ground. I think he's probably, if he doesn't get to somewhere near his best next season, it's definitely the year after that. So he's from Perth, but I think he seemed to be pretty settled at the Dogs, and given that they'll go again, reload, and are in that window for the next couple of years, at least stacked in the midfield. Key defenders is probably the area that they'd want to improve in the Western Bulldogs, with Ryan Gardner missing that grand final side, and then that third, the Easton Wood role, who takes the dangerous smaller forward. I think Duray's done a great job. We saw what he did on Charlie Cameron as well, but I think they need to fill that void.
I thought he was good in the grand final as well, though, Taylor Duray. I thought he had a good game.
Super courageous. I thought he was one of those players that could hold their head high all game. Treloar was probably the other one. The others faded in and out. Looked like Bont was going to win the Norm Smith at one stage, and then Gee, it was some sort of offensive effort from the D's to just go bang, bang, bang. They kicked 12 in a row.
Good on you, Trav. Appreciate the call. And Tim English, contractor for 2022, of course, which is when that deal expires. What sort of, you know, I think you've said publicly that you're more aligned with Essendon in retirement. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
But when you watch...
Soft spot for both. Yeah. When you pull on the Guernsey for both sides.
When you watch the Dogs...
If I watch the Dogs play Essendon, then I'm probably going for Essendon.
But when you're watching the Dogs in a grand final...
Yeah, you're hoping that Melbourne. They get over the line.
Yeah, because you've got mates there.
Still a handful of teammates that I actually played with. So they're still running around out there. Seems like an eternity ago.
Who's still there?
I played with Easton. I played with Libba. Played with Bont. Played with Jack McCrae.
Lockie Hunter there.
Played with Lockie.
Yeah. So there's a few contacts. They still speak to you, don't they?
I think there was nine premiership players left over from
2016.
Yep. I didn't play with all of them, but I think there's probably a handful that... And then Rowan Smith still coaching there.
Yeah.
He's a great man.
Yeah.
So always a soft spot for the team that you play over 200 games with.
Well, indeed. I think this man's got a soft spot for them too. His name's Matt. He's in Geelong, but he wants to talk about the Dogs and their options. G'day, Matty.
How are we, fellas?
Good, Matty.
Yeah, look, now that we're in a Dog here, but I think it's very evident to, you know, on the weekend that we obviously need a key defender. And, you know, if Tim English isn't ready to take that next step, potentially a ruckman. And the two blokes I look at is obviously Tom Cleary, who's on the outer at Port, and probably Peter Laddams. And I just wondered, you know, what would a trade look like for the Dogs? Because obviously we need draft picks to be able to bring in little Sammy Darcy.
Yeah, you do, Matt. Oh, look, you're in the market for a ruckman. I'm just not sure if you want to be forking out the sort of price that it's going to take to get someone like Peter Laddams in the door. Happy to be proven wrong there, of course. I just don't think you're in the market to that degree, but he is very much... gettable at the moment. And as you say, you haven't got a great draft hand, pick 17, pick 72, and you got Sam Darcy coming in as well. In regards to Tom Cleary, I can't see that happening either because his contract is so heavily back-ended for the last couple of years. I'm told north of 500,000, approaching six.
They don't have that for the next, money, the Dogs.
No, for the next 2 years for Tom Cleary, given the back-ended nature of his contract, which is the same as Peter Laddams and many, many players at the Power. That's just the way they've chosen to go about it from a list management strategy there, Matt. So I think you're right. They're the target areas we all think they need. I'm just not sure it's going to be those two players specifically.
Yep. Just one more thing quickly, in just regard to Tim English. Obviously, WA boy, is there any way they could cash in on his currency and potentially bring in Rory Lobb to replace Juice, who obviously went down for an ACL and will miss most of next year? Proven goal kicker and be pretty handy second ruckman to Stefan, or if we bring in, say, maybe a John Segler or something.
I think the issue with Rory Lobb is he's also had his injury concerns and never really hit the peak of his powers, and you'd be loath to give up Tim English to try and get Rory Lobb in, because I think he'll be your number one ruck and become a super player once he matures. It's, I forget, it takes a few years longer for the big boys to actually hit their straps. So I think he'll be terrific. Hang in there with Tim English. He's going to have his moments of inconsistency because he's young and he's also tall and still learning the game and trying to run around and beat up on Max Gawn. So it's not easy for a young ruckman to come in and do that. But in terms of your backup option after Steph Martin, it's someone similar like that. Not as old, but cheap, that can just smash away as a second option.
Mumford?
Well, he hasn't officially retired.
Has he? He hasn't retired.
I think he's going again, Big Mummy.
What's going on? So this is Leon Cameron, GWS coach, after their semi-final loss to Geelong, about Shane Mumford, you know, likely to retire, but we still, nothing, radio silence.
Oh, look, it's probably highly unlikely. He's retired a couple of times, Mummy. Look, it was an emotional time after the game. You could clearly see he was shattered. You know, for a player that was probably only going to play four or five games and just coach the young fellas in the ruck this year, it turned out to play a bit more than probably what we first thought. We managed him really well. We got a really good performance out of him. Even his second half was just unbelievably built on courage. And our players actually see that and they love having him out there. But, you know, he's 35, he's banged up, he can, you know, probably hardly move. But it's probably more unlikely than likely. And, you know, but we'll search our way through that and discuss that in the next couple of months.
Well, that was Leon Cameron, and still silence on the Shane Mumford front. Hey, Tom Morris just reported that Jared Brander on the outer at West Coast, told to explore his options could be part of the Sam Petrevski-Seaton trade. And then he's on Carlton's radar. Tommy Morris reporting that on Fox Sports. If you're a Carlton supporter or West Coast, give us your thoughts on that on the Kogan Mobile Open Line, 1-300-23-55-48. That was all for Sea-Doo, your way. You can find a Sea-Doo model to suit your needs, and you can find them online at Sea-Doo.com. You got yourself a Sea-Doo down there in the Geelong waterfront, Coons? Just anchored for weekend enjoyment?
Bit too dangerous.
Suggest you get one. They're very safe and beautiful pieces of machinery.
I'd like a couple of them.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, then. Just sit at the back of the yacht that I've got down there in the bay.
Well, at Sea-Doo.com for you, and you get yourself one.
Can
or
I get
two.
Two? Okay, can you get the tandem trailers that you can?
I think you can.
Yeah, a few of the Dogs players used to roll around in the Sea-Doos back in the day. We had a day off. We used to go in the bay and launch them off Altona, and away we went. Yeah.
Okay. Jeez, I like fun. That. Yeah, they are fun.
Put on the river as well.
Yeah, keep well away from the swimmers, won't you? Mm. Okay, we'll be back. Trade afternoon. Sam Edmund, Adam Cooney, all thanks to McDonald's, of course, where the Monopoly game at Macca's is back. And tell you what, he's also back, the Mega Trade. And the mayor of the Mega Trade is just greasing the wheel. That's to come. Great to have your company right here at Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio for opening day. Sam Edmund and Adam Cooney with you for the next 40-odd minutes. So without further ado, and this has been heavily anticipated ever since the closing day, deadline day of last year's trade period, the return of the Mega Trade. And now I can proudly say, brought to you by Continental Tires. When you need tires, ask for Continental. Continental-tires.com.au. They've seen the light. And they've thrown their weighty support behind the Mega Trade, Coons.
They know. They get it. They just get it at Continental. Look at we're on.
We don't have a drum roll there, do we? Just a build? No, no, we don't have any drum rolls.
We will tomorrow.
We spare no expense.
Day one, we're just line and length.
Okay. I'm having a look at this Mega Trade, and there's nothing line and length about it. It puts the M in mega. It's huge.
It does, and pick 25 gets more frequent flyer miles than any of us put together over the last couple of years.
Hello.
Because it's going all around the country. Right.
I like one of
these. Stick with me. Okay.
And do I need to say it as you know, housekeeping off the top, that this will be given its full graphic treatment by the online gurus here at sen.com.au? The graphic, is that trade radio as well?
The graphic will be unleashed as soon as we get through this one on the socials. Okay. Deal one. Carlton get Adam Chera and pick 27 from Freo. Fremantle get pick 6 and pick 25 from Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
Deal 2.
Which is essentially pick 6 for Chera, but I like it.
Correct.
Yep.
Deal 2. Geelong get pick 25.
Oh.
Fremantle get Jordan Clark. So 25's gone there and gone. Deal 3. Geelong get Peter Laddams.
And let me guess, they move on pick
25.
Oh.
Okay. Port get pick 25. So Port of hanging on to 25.
Okay, what do they do with it?
Well, let's
see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
There's another one. Exactly. Step 4.
Deal 4. Adelaide get pick 16 from Port and pick 25
from Port. Yep.
Port get pick 23.
Oh goodness.
37, 59. All from Adelaide, and a future second rounder, which will be pick 20 if the Crows finish towards the bottom.
Magnificent.
Deal 5, Jordan Dawson goes to Adelaide. Sydney get pick 16.
Right.
Which originally has come from Port Adelaide.
Yes.
So, to break it all down, Carlton get pick 27 and Adam Chera. Fremantle get pick 6 and Jordan Clark. Geelong get Peter Laddams.
Yep.
Give up Jordan Clark.
Yep.
Port Adelaide gets picks 23, 37, 59, and a future second rounder. Adelaide get Jordan Dawson and pick 25. The only one which I'm a bit upset about is Sydney get pick 16 effectively for Jordan Dawson.
They'd be happy with that, do you reckon?
Well, it's a first rounder.
Yeah. Won't be 16 probably on draft night either.
Closer to 10.
It'll be out towards sort of
18, 19, 20. Yeah. So you'd want maybe, ideally you'd want something about pick 10 for Jordan Dawson, but...
But magnificent.
There it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 clubs.
Magnificent Mega Trade to open the batting on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. I'm going to need a picture drawn for me for my simple mind. Thankfully, one will be done. So it'll be up on the, what'd you call them? The
socials.
The socials. Okay. Fair enough. At Trade Radio is our Twitter handle. You're welcome to take part, exchange any ideas or concepts with us at Trade Radio on the Twitter feed. The Mega Trade will be there shortly. Shammer's waited very patiently. Shammer's in Brunswick. Welcome, Shammer. Welcome to the show.
Byron.
Thanks, mate. G'day, guys. How are you going?
We're going well.
Good to hear. Cooney, love the mega trade. Love the way that trade mindset works for yours.
Yeah. It's always ticking over, Shama.
I hear you. So to the question, we know Essendon's need for a big, strong midfield body. Now, Charlie Constable keeps on coming up without a contract at Geelong. So the question is, has there been any rumours, news about that connection? And then the second part of that is, do you think it's a good fit?
Zero whispers about Charlie Constable and Essendon, Shammer. I cannot put that any clearer to you. Charlie Constable, I just don't think has a suitor at the moment. And if he is to get one, it's going to come late or obviously potentially not at all, similar to last year. What about Luke Dunstan, though, Shammer, who has not been offered a new contract at the Saints? Would you prefer someone like Luke Dunstan if you need an inside mid?
Look, I think Luke's strengths are pretty well aligned to the needs of Essendon. The only thing I would question is that kicking efficiency. As much as he'll be just an inside ball passing it outside to the kickers, we do need some high kicking efficiency within that midfield.
Mm. Coons, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, it's a good call. I mean, I don't subscribe to the theory now that Essendon needs another big body.
You think they're well stocked?
I think they're pretty well stocked. I think what Darcy Parrish did this year showed that he's the man.
Caldwell comes back
in
as
there.
Well.
Caldwell not that to play the, some more yeah. footy, but you're right. They're not huge bodies in there, but I think they certainly did enough this year to hold their own. Zach Merritt's more your user.
They did ask the question
Dylan
again.
Dylan Shield's a big one for me.
Tradable?
I'm not gonna say he's tradable, but I'd want him to be more productive around clearances and contested possession, giving up two first rounders for him.
Shammer, they did ask the question again, just a cursory inquiry into Josh Dunkley again to see if they could get him over the line, but he's staying put and
they went again.
Yeah, they asked again. Yep. Just a little quiet asking of the question, and they were told that no, he won't be going anywhere. In fact, he's well down the path of a new contract at the Western Bulldogs, Shammer. So we'll see what happens there. We know you got Jake Kelly in the door. You'd be happy with that. Comes on the cheap, of course.
Yeah, very happy with that selection. It's a good one from Rutz and the team.
Oh, good stuff. Well, unfortunately, they're relatively quiet, Shammer. We do miss Adrian Dodoro already in here. looks as though they're going to the draft. They might pick up the delisted free agent here and there, like we speculated. Thanks for the call. Toby's in Burwood. Toby, welcome.
Hey, boys. Look, I've got a really good question and some future analysis on my boy, Tim Taranto. He's contracted for one more year, but I think there could be a little bit of him being on the outer at the GWS Giants, given the fact that there's Hopper and Green and Kellys and the likes of Camellio, especially considering Taranto polled quite well in the Brownlow this year. Maybe if he leaves, he could be pushing a top 10 spot in the AFL as a midfielder. Look, he's a superstar talent. Back in that 2019, he won their best and fairest, and this year he's really dropped off a bit of form, especially spending a lot of more time forward. I think North Melbourne could be looking to pick him up, given the fact that they've got picks, they've got cap space. Look, he's a $1 million kind of year player, given the opportunity. I think him combined with a bit of Jai Simkin, Taron Thomas, LDU, and Ben, and like some more experience than Ben Cunnington, I think North Melbourne could be pushing the top eight with an acquisition like Tim Taranto, especially given he's got 1 year left on his contract. Maybe the Giants opt to get some value for him while they can, rather than letting him walk, especially given the fact that the North Melbourne have a lot to give and the Giants need a lot of assets in return. So they could be targeting someone like a Nick Larkey or someone for him. Thanks, guys.
Nice work, Toby. Very comprehensive.
Got a bit excited at the end.
From Toby, it sounded like he was in the schoolyard. He must be obviously not in Victoria.
No. Okay. There you go, Tim Taranto, but contracted next until the end of next year. I can't see Tim Taranto going anywhere, to be honest, but stranger things have happened. Some feedback for your mega trade, Coons. Adam, you're a South Aussie, and you should know very well that there's no way Port Adelaide, no way that Port help Adelaide land Jordan Dawson.
Yeah, I know. That's obviously going to be a sticking point as well. A couple of Port Adelaide supporters not happy with the pick 23, 37, 59, a future second rounder as well. So you can imagine some of the players you can pick up for that. There's a couple of second rounders in there, which could take you forward. So
bit of junk for their sort of prime assets that they're giving up there. First round pick and Peter Adams.
It's not junk. Two second round picks, no, and then not. You can pick some absolute gems up in just, around the 30s
just
and 50s.
Expressing their feedback on it. They're not mine. Don't shoot the messenger. AG's texting, Essendon should chase Will Brody when it comes to that inside midfielder. No takers. A bit like Charlie Constable. No takers for Will Brody either.
Well, if you can't get a spot in the Gold Coast midfield as an insider, then it's going to be tough to break into Essendon's.
Well, maybe there's other things at play.
Like?
I don't know. Personality clash.
With?
I don't know.
Stuart?
Not sure.
It doesn't matter.
Sometimes you just need a fresh start, Coons.
You need
a clean slate.
If you're a quality inside midfielder, you can have as many personality clashes as you like and still get picked in the side. If you're a fringe player and you've got personality clashes, then good luck.
I'm just going into bat for Will Brody.
Yeah. Sorry, Will.
Righto, we'll take a break and we're going to come back right here on Trade Afternoons and we'll have a trade news update coming up on the other side of this, all thanks to Mate Internet and Mobile. Award-winning Aussie service, of course, mobile plans from just $20. You're listening to Trade Afternoons for Maccas. The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back.
A trade news update for Mate Internet and Mobile. Mate, award-winning Aussie service, mobile plans from $20.
Oh, yes, Tom, for a trade news update. Sam Edmund, Adam Cooney with you. Michael Voss has been doing the rounds, Coons, as the new Carlton coach, of course. He spoke with ABC Radio over the weekend about a range of topics. One of them, very pertinent to us here on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio, and that is the immediate playing future of Adam Chera.
No, I haven't touched base with him as yet. Again, that's the feet under the desk thing, but I've been at least briefed on where that's all at. That looks pretty promising at this stage, clearly. So, you know, the guys have gone to work really hard there. I've just been briefed at this particular stage, but yeah, no doubt over the over the coming days, I'll reach out and hopefully get a chance to have a really good chat with him.
And do you think he is worth more than pick six? Or what would be your thought around what you would have to give up?
Oh, way too early for me to speculate. Yeah. And I'm not going to take over the list management team than what they've done there. So I'd probably need a little bit more time to have a look through what we go through there. But yeah, I mean, clearly he's going to add something to our group. You know, be able to add to that midfield depth will be pretty good.
Imagine coming in, how your head would be spinning as Michael Voss coming into that footy club, all the trade balls up in the air. Your old mob's only just been eliminated from the finals race and you expect it to be up to speed on all the machinations.
What are you doing with your pick six this year, Michael? Can you tell us that?
Gee whiz. That's amazing, isn't it? Nevertheless, I didn't stop masking. We're glad that they did, because he spoke about George Hewitt from the Sydney Swans as well.
Oh, we would love to have him. So it's, again, to highlight that midfield area, there's, you know, you only got to look at the grand final teams to know the importance of being able to have depth in that part of the ground. And there's high demands in the current game to be able to apply consistent intensity across the game. And to do that, you have to have depth. You've got to have running power through there. They all have to complement one another, and clearly he's one player along with Adam that would really complement the mix that we have there currently.
So that's Michael Voss, the incoming Carlton coach, with a huge task ahead of him to lift the fortunes of the once mighty Carlton Football Club. And we'll see how he goes over the trade period in the pre-season and next year as well, Coons. Elsewhere, North Melbourne, Tom Lynch from Adelaide, delisted free agent, will definitely be joining the club. It's just a matter of whether it will be as a player as well as a development coach. I think he signed a three-year deal as a development coach, but North Melbourne, I think, are more likely than unlikely to employ him as a player and therefore pay him under the salary cap as a rookie-listed option. So that means he can play. He's eligible for selection, but I think it's more over that he doesn't get paid under the soft cap that will be their thinking there. James Kelly, Geelong have confirmed that the triple premiership player is returning to the club as an assistant coach to work alongside Chris Scott there, as we said earlier. Matty Knight's gone, Scarlett gone, Corey Enright gone, Nigel Lappin remains there for now, and the new CEO, Steve Hocking, I'm told, gets into the building on Friday to officially start as the chief executive. But I think it's fair to say, like a lot of people at the moment, he's been working from home. He's been doing a lot from home, I reckon, even if he hasn't been in the joint. So
getting rid of a lot of ex-players. That's what he's been doing.
And employing some.
And employing some. So look out. Keep your phone next year if you've played for the Cats over the last 10 or so years.
You might get a buzz, of course. Tim O'Brien, we spoke about earlier, some interest there from Port Adelaide in regards to Hawthorn's unrestricted free agent, 19 games this year for Tim O'Brien. Sounds like he will be on the move. And Tom Morris reporting that Jared Brand, a high draft pick in 2017, pick 13 at the West Coast Eagles, might be part of the Sam Petrevski-Seaton move back the other way to the Eagles.
Been watching him pretty closely, and you know what his best attribute is?
Yes.
Speed. Yeah. Jared Brander.
He's good.
Yep. He's Grand pretty finals. Quick.
It was a local sprint, so, yeah. You know, not a wide range.
Derby
field.
Sort of derby yep. flavour about
derby.
It.
Derby.
Derby or derby?
Well, derby here, isn't it? Do derby there. Derby?
Do they say Palmer or Palmy in the West?
I don't know. Where South Aussie, what do you say there?
Palmy. Oh, you know, in Geelong, it's Palmy.
What?
They say Palmy in Geelong.
Do they?
Yep.
So is this just a strictly a Melbourne thing?
Must be Victoria. Well, sort of Melbourne Central Business District Geelong. Type areas. In the metropolitan area. Not full. Yeah, regional. Geelong is a Palmy. And the argument is, well, that's how it's spelt.
But how does it sound?
But it's not how you say it, is
no,
it?
No, it's Palmer.
I don't care. Palmer's I'm still a Palmer guy. Being a Palmy from South Australia and then going to Palmer and eating the majority of those throughout sort of 18 to 35, I'm a Palmer guy. I'm never going to convert back to Palmy now that I'm living in Geelong.
Right, okay.
That's I just can't do it.
That's good to hear. Hey, some feedback for you. Good mega trade, but unders for Dawson. Needs to be top 10. Same as Adam Saad trade previously, similar size, length of contract, even though the salary cap has shrunk since the Saad deal. Mm. Dawson is also 2 years younger than Saad when the deal was signed. Dawson's 192 centimetres, elite runner, elite